If you will take out your scripture sheet, the second message on the book of Jonah. It begins with Jonah being swallowing. It ends with Jonah being spit out. And in the middle is an extraordinary Hebrew psalm of thanksgiving that Jonah composed. And Yahweh appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the womb or belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and thou didst hear my voice. For thou didst fling me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood was round about me. All thy waves and billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out from thy presence. How shall I look upon thy holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep was round about me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed over me forever. Yet thou didst bring my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to thee. What I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Isaac Singer once confessed, whenever I am in trouble, I pray, and since I'm always in trouble, I pray a lot. These Jonah-like words ring true to most of us because pain and prayer often go together, not always, but often. I think C.S. Lewis got it right when he wrote in his book, The Problem of Pain. We can even ignore pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Not that God does not work in the flourishing center of life, but out near the thin edges where our raw need is clear, pain can be a movement to prayer. Jonah had run away from God. He'd bought a whole ship. He was the only passenger. He was headed through the Straits of Gibraltar to what we would call the Costa del Sol, getting away from Israel and from its vision. And you know what happened? God rolled the winds out, stirred the storm, and Jonah finally got tossed into the sea. Now, before this time, the sailors had been praying, but Jonah only begins to pray when he is drowning. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I cried to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and thou didst hear my voice. Well, the challenges of being a pastor is paying attention to the kinds of situations in which you find people, and then asking the question, what kind of prayer does this opportunity stir? If evil is involved, you need a prayer of authority and of command. If the human predicament is the result of sin or frailty, there are prayers of compassion and forgiveness and encouragement and discipline. But there are some times when it's a Jonah moment, when God has isolated a person unto himself for some very specific work. And when someone's in a Jonah moment, my job is just to be present and to pray for them and to get out of God's way. Because there's divine work going on in which I really don't have a part. When we last left Jonah, he had saved the mariners by having himself tossed into the sea. I think Jonah was suicidal and would rather die than go to Assyria. And Jonah's prophecy was true. As soon as they threw him in the waters, the hands that were shaking the teacup stopped and the seas were calmed. Now, on board the vessel, a revival breaks out, and these pagan Phoenician polytheistic mariners begin to cry to the God of Jonah. They cried to the Lord. They prayed that His blood not be held on their hands, and they made sacrifices and vowed vows. So there is judgment in the waters, and there is revival on the deck. And Jonah says, "The flood was around me, all thy waves and billows passed over me." Jonah is drowning. He's looking death eye to eye. He's being weighed down by his sins. Jonah had wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord, but he thought it would be on a cruise ship that would dock in Spain. But Jonah is in the water, and he is drowning, and he is not aware of the presence of God. It is not that God is not there because God is omnipresent. It's that God has withheld tangible symbols of His presence. And the far extreme of this is Jesus' word on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jonah's rebellion is judged. He is left alone in the waters to die. He does not know that under him are the everlasting arms. Now, people want to always know about the fish. And there are lots of tales and legends in the ancient world about fishes swallowing people. And I believe that what we have in Jonah is a historical parable, that Jonah was a figure, that the hatred of the Assyrians was true. But what we have here is one Hebrew prophet telling a satire on another Hebrew prophet who just doesn't want to do God's work. And so the humor here is that Jonah goes out from Joppa on the top of the water on a ship. He comes back to Joppa underwater in a submarine. Jonah says, "I went down to the place of death, and I waited for the bars, the gates of death, to close upon me. And just at the last moment, I was rescued." Now, folks, we do not have a God who is far away, some distant enlightenment deistic deity who wound the world up and lets it run like a clock from a safe distance. The God of the book of Jonah is an involved God. A God who knows Jonah, who knows his shenanigans, who rolls the winds up like a ball, who can send a fish, who has a plant to grow and then withers the plant with the worm. God bends creation to see people saved. And there Jonah is, underwater, rescued by God, alone on a 3-day retreat, in the dark, probably wondering, what has happened to me? What in my future? I did not know Nineveh was this important to God. Maybe it's a good time to compose an ancient Hebrew song. I love the Disney version of this, where you see the great sperm whale and Jonah is in the cavern, and he lights a match and gets a candle, and it echoes, and he finds a piece of paper, and he begins to write a psalm. Now, that is a fantasy. Jonah did not sit on one kidney on the backside of a sperm whale and echo his singing out through the blowhole, but it's an imaginative image. And you see, Jonah was a Jew. Jonah had been to the temple. Jonah knew the liturgy. Jonah knew the psalms. There are 15 references to the psalms in this prayer. Now, I believe when Jonah hit the water, his prayer was not a formal Hebrew psalm. I believe it was an anguish cry to God. Help me. Save me. I'm dying. The kind of prayers that we find on black boxes on downed airliners, where people say, "Oh, Jesus," and then utter all kinds of foul expletives, which the Lord takes as prayers. There does erupt out of people in moments of agony all kinds of expressions that I believe are desperate prayers to be saved. And God answered that prayer for Jonah. And later Jonah wrote a very sophisticated psalm of thanksgiving. Now, sometimes people ask me, "Phil, why do you write a prayer on something? Why don't you just pray from the heart?" My former pastor prayed from the heart. And I say, have you looked in your heart lately? And have you looked in mine? If I was to pray the spontaneous, utterings of my heart. It would not be fit for public consumption, and I would probably lose my job. Most of the prayers of the Bible are written, and they are very careful. And there in isolation with God in the depths of that whale, Jonah composes a sophisticated Hebrew psalm of thanksgiving, thanking God for his rescue. There's only one thing missing. There's absolutely no confession of sin or sorrow in this psalm. So Jonah and God are talking again, but Jonah is not yet ready to admit that he has run away from God's call. Now, here is my theory, and it is only a theory. I believe it was a very smart fish. And as the fish heard the gurgling of Jonah's prayer within, the great whale recognized that Jonah was still running from God because there was no confession of sin in his prayer. And he took a shot at the mariners as idolaters. And I believe that Jonah's prayer, his pious prayer to God, made the animal so sick to its stomach, so nauseated at the false piety of Jonah, that he belched him out upon the land. Now, that's not a scientific theory, but I kind of like the fact that Jonah's prayer is not complete. Now, sometimes when people ask me, "Phil, teach me to pray," what they mean is, teach me how to get things from God. Give me the right words and the right phrases. And I say, if you want to pray, come to church on Sunday. Enter the silence, pray the opening prayers, listen to the scriptures, pray with the people, receive the benediction, learn the rhythms of corporate prayer, and then I will teach you how to pray privately. Prayer is not about me getting my will done, but God getting his will done through me. And after reading Jonah, it's good to have a Jonah moment. It's good to be alone with God. It's good to have God as your only source. And as soon as Jonah finishes his prayer, folks, he doesn't walk across the tongue of this great behemoth as if he's departing some cruise ship on a gangway. He is vomited forth. He is hurled forward. He is spewed in the direction of Nineveh. So in tight spots in your life, when you are lonely and grieving, know that you've disobeyed God. And even if you're not quite ready yet to make a confession, take all that you are and all that you are not, and turn it into some kind of agonizing prayer to the Lord of heaven and earth, that he may have mercy upon you and that he may spew you out into his will and into his work and into his way. Take a short moment of silence now and bow your head and bend your pride to God. Brothers and sisters, there is a Jonah hymn in our hymnal. The tune is singable, but the words are new. And we must remember that whatever we do here in the belly of this whale, this great cavern, where we have prayed today, is for the sake of the world outside our doors.